Take your Bible this morning and turn to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 22. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 22. And this morning we want to look at three verses. Verse 31 down through verse number 33. Luke chapter 22 and verse 31. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. And he said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee both into prison and to death. Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, we just thank you this morning, Lord, that we can gather together. Lord, to worship thee. Lord, to just come into thy presence, Lord. To give glory to thee and praise to thee and honor to thee for all that you are. All that you are and all that you are to us. And Lord, we pray this morning right now that you would allow your Holy Spirit to speak to our hearts and speak to us through thy word, Lord. And we'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' precious name. Amen. I don't think we can really fully, or will ever, fully understand all that was going on in Luke chapter 22, especially when it comes to the Lord Jesus Christ. How can we begin to comprehend as human beings, as frail individuals, all that the Lord Jesus Christ was going through at this night? He sits down with his disciples and he says in verse 15, with desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. And as many times as we read over the events leading up to the cross, and we read of the cross, and we read of the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, it's beyond us to really comprehend and understand what the Lord Jesus Christ was really fully going through this night. Down in verse number 42, as the Lord Jesus Christ is praying in the garden, he says, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. Can we begin to grasp the fullness of what that means, that an angel from heaven, God had to send, and did send an angel from heaven to strengthen his son in his humanity, the Son of Man? Being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. I don't think we'll ever, this side of glory, comprehend the intensity, the gravity, the seriousness, the all that was upon the Lord Jesus Christ that night. And yet then we come to verse number 31. In the midst of all of this, in the midst of everything that's going on in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, in the midst of the greatest intensity in his life before the cross, he speaks to one man, Simon, Simon. You know, the Bible says in John chapter 13 and verse number 1, having loved his own, he loved them unto the end. John chapter 10 and verse 27, Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. And he says, and I know them. 1 Peter 5 and verse 7, the Bible says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. And right here in the midst of all of that was going on, the Lord Jesus Christ takes time to lovingly, caringly, perfectly, wonderfully, speak to this one man, Peter, about his life. And you know, the first thing I'll say to you this morning is not a one of us can fully or truly understand what's going on in each other's life, can we? We try to, and we try to help one another. We try to sympathize one another, understand one another. But there's no one that can understand you apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. No one can understand what you or I are going through in our life. For you and I, we really don't know each other the way the Lord Jesus Christ does. We're all made up totally differently, aren't we? Our personalities are different, right? The way we think is different. The way we respond is different. The way we react is different. The way we go through things. Everything in our life is individually different. And yet in this passage of Scripture, we have a Savior. Not only a Savior, but a Shepherd who knows us perfectly and cares about us perfectly. And here in the midst of this, in the midst of all that's going on, just stop and think about it, in the midst of all that's going on in life, in your life, in the midst of all that's going on in the world, Jesus Christ wants you to know this morning that he cares intimately and perfectly about you and what's going on in your life, and wants to help you in your life, and wants to speak to you in your life. You know, in verse number 31, as I spoke about this on Wednesday night, the first thing that we see here is the first thing that the Lord Jesus Christ cares about this one guy, Simon, Peter. And the first thing we see in verse number 31, before we even get into the rest of the verse or into verse 32, is the Lord wants Peter to understand how much he cares, and he wants Peter to listen. He wants Peter to hear what he has to say. And he says, Simon, 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 Simon. You know, I spoke in great depth on this on Wednesday night, but let me just refresh our hearts and minds this morning. Because Simon might not have caught this right then, but he would understand it. He would understand it much later in his life as the Lord would bring him through all of this. But you see, the name Simon is one of the most important Hebrew verbs in the Old Testament. To a Jewish person, to a Hebrew person, they understand the importance of this word, because that name Simon is a Hebrew word that means to hear, to listen, to perceive, and understand what most importantly the Lord is saying. Deuteronomy chapter 6, God would say, hear, O Israel, hear, O Israel. Before the Lord would even say, hear, that thou mightest observe to do, he would say, hear. In other words, just listen. Listen. You know, one of the hardest things every one of us has to do in our life is to listen, right? It's the hardest thing. Hardest thing in a marriage. We'll move on quickly. But isn't it the hardest thing in a relationship between two people is to listen? You know why it's so hard? Because I'm the one that knows better. I'm the one that has all the answers. And the Lord Jesus Christ is saying to Peter, he says, Simon, listen. Listen to what I have to say to you. Ever stop to consider how if we would just simply, really, sincerely, wholeheartedly, fervently listen to the Lord, what a difference it would make in our life. Amen. And he says it twice. He doesn't just say Simon, but he says Simon, Simon. In other words, he's just so much caring for Peter that he repeats it because he knows how hard it is to get our attention. He knows how hard much we can be distracted. He knows how much our thoughts can wander. And he says, Simon, Simon. And then he says something else, behold. And that word behold means just a stop, to just stop and think and look and listen, to just stop. And in the midst of all that's going on in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, he cares so much about Peter. In the midst of all that's going on in the world, the Lord Jesus Christ cares so much about you and so much about me that he says, stop for a minute, just listen. Just listen. Just take some time this Sunday morning and listen, not to what I have to say, but what the Lord has to say. What the Lord has to say. He says, Simon, Simon, behold. And how important this is and how precious this is this morning. How wonderful this is. You know, this is a this portion of Scripture from verse 31 down through verse 33 is both challenging, it's convicting, but in the end it's comforting. It's challenging. It's very convicting. But the message is one of great, great, great comfort. Because it brings us to an understanding of how frail we are and how faithful he is. We just sang that hymn, Great is Thy Faithfulness. Great is Thy Faithfulness. You ever stop to consider, apart from the faithfulness of God and the faithfulness of the Lord Jesus Christ, how could we get through this life? And so this morning, I want us to see, or I pray that we would see and ask the Lord that we would see three things this morning from verse 31 down to verse number 33. First one is this. The Lord speaks to Simon. He says, Simon, Simon, behold. And then the Lord gives him a very serious warning about his life. Very serious warning about his life, and it's a warning that he's giving to us as well. And it's a warning that we would do well to just take note of and pay attention to and not lose sight of it. He says, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. He says, Satan has desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. That's the same terminology, the same phrase, the same essence and meaning as is given to us in the life of Job, where Satan went before God and said, and God said, have you seen my servant Job? Have you taken note of my servant Job? He fears God. He eschews evil. And Satan stands before God and says, well, sure he does. You've taken care of everything in his life. You've put a hedge about him. You've provided for him. You've protected for him. Take away all that and see how he responds. In other words, Satan, see if his faith stands when everything is stripped away. And Satan tests and tries the faith of Job. And this is what Satan is doing here with Peter. He's desired to sift him like wheat. He's desired to just shake him up and see whether his faith will stand. You know, Satan tempts us to sin. Satan tempts us to get distracted. But the greatest thing Satan would love to do is to get us just lose our faith and to stop trusting in the Lord. And Peter would learn this later on. Peter would learn this from this occasion. Peter would learn how serious this warning is. If you turn over to 1 Peter chapter 4, because in the Lord Jesus Christ in Luke, he says to Peter, he says, Satan hath desired to sift you, to have you, that he may sift you like wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. And in 1 Peter chapter, well, in the book of 1 Peter, it's Peter's letter. And in this and throughout 1 Peter, he is doing that very thing. He's endeavoring by the grace of God in his life and the testimony of God in his life to be a help and a strength to his fellow believers. And we come over to 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse number 7. And he strengthens the believers in one way by just giving them the same word and telling them, listen, you need to be careful. In 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 7, he says, but the end of all things is at hand. Be there sober and watch unto prayer and have reverent charity among yourselves. But he says, be sober, be serious. He says, think serious about your life and what's going on. And he says, watch unto prayer. You see, this is the very thing that Peter didn't catch at the moment. The Lord Jesus Christ has given Peter a serious warning. He says, Satan hath desired to have you that it may sift you like wheat. And later on, when Jesus is in the garden, he says, watch and pray. Watch and pray that ye fall not into temptation. And in the moment, in that night, as the Lord had told Peter to listen, Peter, listen. Peter didn't quite catch it. But now Peter understands. And later on, Peter's writing and he says, listen, be sober. Be sober. He says, and watch unto prayer. Why? We'll go over 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5, he says, why? He says, because the same thing that I was challenged with, the same thing that I was faced with, the same adversary that I had and have, that was sifting me like wheat. He's your adversary. And Peter says this in 1 Peter chapter 5, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resists steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. And Peter says, listen, I went through this. The Lord brought me through it. And now that I'm on the other side of this, now that the Lord, by his faithfulness, his mercy and his grace and his power, his strength and his working, has brought me through this, he says, may I speak to you what the Lord said to me? Watch and pray. Why? Because we have an adversary. We have an adversary. Every one of us. The adversary is the same. It's the devil. The Bible says he's like a roaring lion. He's walking about seeking whom he may devour. And so first of all, the Lord Jesus Christ says to Simon, he says, I'm going to warn you, Simon. Satan hath desired to have you that may sift you like wheat. But second of all, and the reason why you say, well, that was a short point. Yeah, because I want to get to the third point quick. The second point is this. Not only did the Lord give him a serious warning, But we see something else. In verse 33, we see a strong weakness. That's an interesting way of putting it, isn't it? Don't we? Did that to catch my attention. My attention. A strong weakness. In reality, what I'm trying to say to you this morning is what Peter thought was his greatest strength was his greatest weakness. Because look how Peter responded. Peter responded when the Lord says, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you like wheat. And Peter, I'm warning you. And look at the response of Peter in verse 33. He said unto him, Lord, I'm ready. I'm ready to go with thee, both into prison and to death. Just those four words right in the beginning. Lord, I am ready. And we that look from a distance, as the phrase is used, as armchair quarterbacks, right? They can look back, we say, really, Peter? Really, Peter? You're ready? You really think you're ready for this? You really think that you're ready for this trial, for this moment where you're going to be challenged in your faith? You think you've got this under control. And you know, that is many times our greatest weakness, when we think we're strong in and of ourselves. When we think, I'm ready. When we think, I've got this. When we think, I can handle this. When we think, I can. We can't. For Jesus Christ said in John chapter 15, without me, you can do nothing. Without me, you can do nothing. We're so prone to it. We're so prone to it. We're so prone to falling into the trap of thinking that somehow we've got it all together. In so many areas of life, I was just going through this morning and thinking, well, go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. This very thing in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. You see, Paul understood it. Paul understood it in every area of his life. He understood that his greatest weakness was his biggest problem, or his greatest strength with his biggest weakness. Oh, however I said it. Paul understood that if he thought he was strong, he was weak. But he also understood this. When he came to the place where he understood how weak he was, that then he would know the strength of Christ. And that's the difference, folks. And so many times, we get it twisted around. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse number 1. And I, brethren, when I came to you. Now think of this. This is the Apostle Paul. This is the Apostle Paul who is taught by the Lord Jesus Christ, who wrote the majority of the New Testament. This is the Apostle Paul of all men of God, of all the preachers in the world. And he says, when I came to you, I came not with excellency of speech. This is Paul. If there was anyone that knew how to speak, if it was anybody that had a command of the Hebrew language, if there was any man that was an orator of exceptional quality, it would be Paul. I mean, if I said to you, I came with excellency of speech, you'd laugh me out of the room. He'd say, we know you don't know how to speak. I know I don't know how to speak. When I went to university for the first year, I went to Baylor University for 1 year. And I remember going to English class, and what a disaster it was. I remember the first day sitting in English class. The first day, the professor was a lady, and she gave us a test. She gave us 100 sentences. And we had to write every part of speech in every sentence. I remember getting my paper back. And I remember looking at my paper. And I thought she had just taken a can of red spray paint and spray painted the whole thing. I remember sitting there as a freshman, first class, first day, first test, so that she could help us understand where we were in the English language. And I got a 19. A 19. You understand what that means? It means I didn't know my English. I understood that. But this is Paul. And Paul says, but I didn't come to you with excellency of speech. He doesn't say, I didn't come to you with wisdom. Paul, the Apostle Paul, the writer of the New Testament. He says, I was declaring you the testimony of God. He said, for I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And Paul says, I have the most wonderful message, the most important message, the message. I want to tell you about Jesus Christ. I want to tell you about Jesus Christ crucified. And he says, I came to you in weakness, fear, and much trembling. And Paul had the message of Christ. And even so, how many times have we stood as Sunday school teachers or preachers or even just sharing the gospel with someone else out on the street? And we have the message, the truth about Jesus Christ. And Paul says, yet when I came to you, I didn't come with excellency of speech. I didn't come in my own strength. He says, I was weak. I was in fear. I was trembling. You go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And Paul understood it not only when it came to speaking the word of God, not only when it came to preaching the word of God, Paul understood it when it came to the very nature of his life and every aspect of his life. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul had an infirmity. In verse 8, he says, for this thing I besought the Lord thrice that it might depart from me. He says, I had this physical problem in my life, and he says, I prayed and I prayed and I prayed for the Lord to take it away. Didn't happen. The Lord didn't take it away. I still have something going on in my life, and I just would love for the Lord to take it away. But the Lord doesn't take it away, and he hasn't taken it away. I know one of the reasons the Lord hasn't taken it away is just to keep me at a place where where I still have to depend upon him all the time. Instead, verse 9, the Lord said unto me, he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. And Paul says, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches, in necessities and persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. And that's what Paul understood. And that's what we need to understand, is that our greatest weakness is when we think we are strong. And our greatest strength is we understand how weak we really are. And that's when we come to the place where we understand this, and we cling to this and we trust this. I can do all things only one way. Through Christ, which strengtheneth me. There's nothing I can do in my own strength that will avail for anything, because I am weak. I can study, I can pray, I can prepare, I can stand here. But if it's not God that does it, it doesn't get done. And that's in every aspect of our life. And this was the weakness that we see in this circumstance, in Luke chapter 22, at this moment in Peter's life. Because as the Lord Jesus Christ would warn Peter, he says, Peter, he says, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you that he may sift you like wheat. And you know, if Peter, or if we put ourselves in that circumstance, if Simon had really heard the word of the Lord, if he had really perceived the message, if he really at that moment caught it, he wouldn't have said, Lord, I am ready. He would have said, Lord, I am helpless right now. He wouldn't have said, I'm ready to go with thee to prison and to death. He would have said, Lord, I need you so much right now. Because if this is the challenge, if this is where I'm at, if Satan is about to attack me that he might sift me, my wheat, who am I to think that in my own strength I can handle this and get through this? And brethren, that should be our attitude every day, every morning when we wake up. Because the Lord knows what we're going to face. We don't know what we're going to face. But the Lord knows. But if our attitude is, no problem, I get this day under control. Mm-mm. I was driving down here the other night, all set, had all my plans. I was on the way to Willimantic to go to preach and everything else. And I pulled in to pick up Jared. Jared was going with me. And the Lord, this is where the Lord knows all about it, folks. And as I pulled into the parking lot, all the lights come on in my car. I mean the warning lights. As I pull into the parking lot, the transmission coolant light goes on. The line just popped out of the radiator. And I'll tell you this, the Lord knew all about it. The Lord knew all about it. He was just once again showing me, hey, listen, you aren't doing any of this in yourself. You aren't even getting to Willimantic in yourself. You can have the nicest car you want, but if you're trusting in that car, you're trusting in your ability, you're trusting in yourself to get from point A to point B, guess what? In one moment, it could all change. And in one moment, I shut that car off, because I know one thing, when that AT light comes on, shut the car off immediately, right, Ray? I coasted up, I shut the car off. But you know what? the Lord not only knew that that car was going to die at that moment, but the Lord says, but I also got the rest of it all in place. Because now I have a young man that's going to chauffeur you all the way to Willimantic. By the way, he's a good driver. Well, I was. Because it was a rainy night. But the Lord brought a young man out, put him in the right place at the right time. And so the Lord said, let me show you who's going to get you to Willimantic. It's not you. It's me. And I'm going to use this young man named Jared. And I thank the Lord for that. Because, you know, the Lord is warning Peter. And Peter's greatest weakness was that he thought he was strong. But it brings us to the third point, which I wanted to get to, is the most supportive word of the Lord. And once again, that's terrible English, I know. There's a serious warning, a strong weakness, and a supportive word. Well, I guess it works. And it's right there in verse number 32, and I love the word of God. And I love the emphasis and the small words that bring something out that is so important. Because the Lord Jesus Christ, and by the way, it's the Lord, the one that knows his own, the one that cares for his own, the one that loves him in the end, the one that cares for you and knows you and loves you. And he says, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you that he may sift you like wheat. And then there's this little three-letter word that changes everything. But. You know, many times in your life, someone will be telling you something, and it's building, and it's increasing, and it's intensifying, and then all of a sudden they say, but. And you know, your ears perk up, don't they? But what? But what? And then they hesitate. And then they wait. Just like I'm doing. To get us to think about, but what? But what? And stop and think about what the Lord said. Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you that he may sift you like wheat. But I have prayed for thee. But I have prayed for thee. Without even going any further into what the Lord prayed, which we will in a moment. But just that one sentence. Just that one sentence. Just that one phrase. That one phrase that the Lord Jesus Christ speaks to Peter. That one phrase that the Lord Jesus Christ wants you and I to understand this morning. Because if you turn over to John chapter 17, you see, the Lord Jesus Christ says, but I have prayed for you. You know, in John chapter 17, it goes further than that. It comes down to you and me. In John chapter 17, John chapter 17 is the Lord Jesus Christ is praying to his Father this very night. He's praying for his disciples. He's praying for himself. He's praying for his disciples. And then look at the encouraging word of the Lord Jesus Christ to you and me this morning in John chapter 17 and verse number 20. Neither pray I for these alone. He says, I'm praying for those that you've given me, those that are right now are with me, those right now at this moment in time, in the same time that he's saying to Peter, I have prayed for thee. But he says, I don't only pray for these. Neither pray I for these alone. But check this out, catch this, understand this.
for them also.
Who? What other group of people? For them also, which shall believe on me through their word. Do you understand the fullness of how far the prayer of the Lord Jesus Christ that night reached? That prayer upon the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ, those words of the Lord Jesus Christ reach all the way through the ages of time, down to October, whatever it is, 2022. He says, I'm not only praying for these, but I'm praying for those that will believe on me through their word. Did you catch that? That same night in which the Lord Jesus Christ was betrayed, he actually, literally, personally prayed for you and me. Think about that. We weren't even born. We didn't even exist yet. And the Lord cared about you, cared about me, loved you, knew us, knew everything. In that moment, he says, not only do I pray for Peter, not only do I pray for these disciples, I pray for that group of people that are sitting this morning, Lakes Palm Baptist Church, that I know. Because the foundation of the Lord standeth sure, having the seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his, that have trusted and believed on me, and I've saved them, and I pray for them. And in Luke chapter 22, he says, but I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. You know, there's so many things in verse number 32. But the first one is this. Who prayed? The Lord prayed. The Lord prayed. You know, it's interesting as you go through the chapter a little later on. Here it says the Lord. The Lord, the one that loved us and gave himself for us, died for us, was buried and rose again. Later on, when Luke chapter 22 is speaking about the Lord in front of Judas Iscariot, in front of the soldiers and the ones that came to arrest him, it uses the name Jesus. But here's the Lord, the one that died for me, the one that raised himself up from the grave, the one that the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 7, that he ever liveth to make intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Back in the Old Testament, Moses went up on the mountain. Moses interceded and prayed for Israel that they had sinned. Daniel chapter 9, Daniel prayed for Israel. Acts chapter 12, the church prayed for Peter. But as great as those prayer wars, and as sincere and as wonderful and awesome and as helpful and monumental and every other word that can describe the prayer of Moses and the prayer of Daniel and the prayer of the church for Peter, this is the Lord. This is the Lord. And the Lord said, Peter, I've prayed for you. And the Lord says to you and me, I've prayed for you. And the Lord wants you to know that in the midst of all your challenges, all your struggles, and all the difficulties, and all the things you face, he says, whether you realize it or not, whether you think about it or not, whether you understand it or not, he says, I'm seated on the right hand of the Father, and I'm interceding for you. Because I care for you. But I want you to notice something else. I want you to notice not only the person of prayer that the Lord prayed, but second of all, the perfect timing of the Lord. Now, you know, in this verse, in verse 32, the Lord doesn't say, I am praying for you. The Lord said, I have prayed for you. I have prayed for you. Do you understand that? You catch that this morning? The Lord said, I have prayed for you. He's warning Peter about what is going to happen. Peter doesn't have any clue as to what is going to happen. And the Lord said, I'm the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending of all things. And he says, Peter, I'm warning you about what is going to happen, about what you're going to face. He says, but I'm also telling you something. I have already prayed for you. Does it get any better than that? We pray for one another when we learn of something, when we hear of something, when someone comes up to us and when someone comes up to us and says, would you please pray for me? This is what I'm going through. And we should say, yes, I'll pray for you. Moses, when he found out how Israel sinned, he interceded on their behalf. When Daniel understood how Israel had sinned, he interceded for them. When the church heard that Peter was in prison, they said, we need to pray for him. But the Lord Jesus Christ, before the event had ever started to take place, he says, I've already prayed for you. Well, I tell you what a comfort that is. What a comfort that is to know that my Savior intercedes for me, for my tomorrows, before I even get there. Because he knows it all. And don't try and figure it all out. Just thank the Lord for it. Amen? But also, not only the perfect timing, but the perfect understanding in his prayer. The perfect understanding in his prayer. Because the Bible says in Romans chapter 8 that many times we don't know how to pray. Right? We don't. If I came up to you and I said, please pray for this, this is what's going on in my life, how do you know how to pray? How do I know how to pray? How do I know, really, how I ought to pray? Now, I know the Holy Spirit takes my prayer and brings it before the Lord and straightens it all out before it gets there, and I'm thankful for that. But when the Lord Jesus Christ prayed for Peter, he prayed with perfect understanding, because look what he prayed. I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. Stop and think how you and I might have prayed in this situation. We might have brought words to the Lord in a lot of different ways. We could have thought, well, this is how we ought to pray in regard to Peter and what he's going through. Or this is how, you see, the Lord understood exactly and totally, perfectly what was going on. And he says, I prayed that thy faith fail not. He didn't pray that there would be no testing or trial. He didn't pray that Peter wouldn't fall. He didn't pray that all the circumstances would be removed. The Lord understood, and he says, I pray that thy faith fail not. And when the Lord intercedes for you and me, he intercedes with a perfect understanding of you, with a perfect understanding of the circumstances, with a perfect understanding of God's will. He prays with a perfect understanding of everything. And that's why we ought not to trust in our own heart, but we ought to trust in the Lord and turn to him continually, by the way. But then he also prayed with a perfect faith. The Bible says, whatsoever you ask in faith, believing, ye shall receive. And we can see he prayed with a perfect faith because he's the Son of Man. I know he's the Son of Man. I know he's the Son of God. But here as he prays, he's showing us the faith with which he prayed, because he says, and when thou art converted, and when you have the victory over this, when the Lord brings you through, when God brings you through, notice he didn't say if. if, the Lord said, when? Because the Lord knew, and by faith, and the Bible says, we live by the faith of the Son of God who loved us and gave himself for us. And he says, and when thou art converted. And he prayed with a perfect faith and expectation and anticipation. You know, sometimes, so many times we pray, and we like to think that we're praying in faith, but boy, don't we doubt. Amen? And don't we wonder? And the Lord says, no, I'm praying with perfect understanding, with perfect faith. And not only that, with a future in mind. When thou art converted, he says, strengthen thy brethren. We're not going to go into the rest of the story of Peter this morning, but the Lord says, when thou art converted, in other words, when you're brought through this, he says, strengthen thy brethren. You know, the Lord's looking at all this, and you can imagine how Peter looked at it when he went through it. The Bible says when Peter denied the Lord, the Lord looked at him, and Peter went out and wept bitterly. You can think that that Peter might have thought, the other disciples might have thought, boy, nothing's ever going to come of this. And yet the Lord knew more, didn't he? And the Lord would give Peter the victory. He would forgive him. He'd restore him. He'd use him greatly. And he says, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. Strengthen thy brethren. You see, the Bible says in Psalm 37, in Psalm 37, the Bible says this regarding you and me. Psalm 37. Verse 24, though he shall fall, he shall not be utterly cast down. And then it says, why? For the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. Though he fall, yeah, Peter fell. Yeah, you and I fall, don't we? Right? But he shall not be utterly cast down. Why? For the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. And that's what we see in Luke chapter 22. That's what we see in Luke chapter 22. And it's convicting. It's challenging. It's convicting in the sense that we understand how frail we are. Even as we grow in our faith, we should always be reminded of how weak we are, lest we stand in our own strength and fall so quickly. But understand this, that the Lord upholds us with his hand, and the Lord brings us through, and that we're kept by the power of God, and we're upheld by the hand of God. And so the Lord speaks to Simon, because he loves him, because he cares for him, because he loves him, because he understands him, because he knows. And he gives him a serious warning. He's trying to get Peter to pay attention to his word. And yes, Peter had a weakness, and the weakness in Peter's life was, well, it was just himself. Because he thought of himself more highly than he ought to. And that's our greatest weakness, is when we think we're strong. And our greatest strength is when we realize how weak we are and how strong Christ is. But oh, I'm so thankful for those four words in verse 32. Well, actually, 6 words. But I have prayed for thee. But I have prayed for thee. But I have prayed for thee. And brethren, listen. As you go through this life, as you're challenged with life, As your adversary seeks to destroy your life, don't trust in yourself, but trust in the Lord and turn to Him continually, and He will sustain you because He loved you, He died for you, He rose again for you, and He lives for you. And because He lives, you can face tomorrow. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word this morning. Lord, may it be challenging to us. But Lord, even more so, may it be comforting to us that we know we have a Savior, a Shepherd, the Son of God that sits on the right hand of the throne of the Father, ever living to make intercession for us. And we thank you and praise you in Jesus' precious name. Amen.